Tested live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
We today were listening to the MMC for Finance in the city of Tshwane giving that budget speech. Jackie Ace is on the line with us, who did a phenomenal job earlier on today, who is now joining us on the line. Thank you very much, MMC, for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening. It's a great pleasure.
Well, so let's talk a little bit about, we're obviously not going to touch on everything, but I just want us to get a sense of some of the most important issues that you addressed in your budget. And one of those is a project and a campaign that you've been on for a very long time, Tshwane Ya Dima. How has it been going? And we'll speak a little bit to some of the budgetary elements that you've added on that particular campaign in your speech today.
Tshwane Ya Dima has been going on for the last couple of months, and we have spent quite a lot of time and attention to institutionalize it into the city, so that it is no longer a loose standing campaign, but that it is something that becomes part of the daily activities and becomes central to the city and sort of the machine out of which the city runs.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen that there is quite a lot of illegal connections across the city, people who have breached their meters. So we have brought in a standard operating procedure where the first time if we catch somebody, you get a fine, and the second time we then start taking a criminal action.
Mm.
So Tshwane Ya Dima, the focus to it has been 100% to make it part of the operations of the city.
And you've just said, you know, you wanted to formalize it. I know that you've said you've allocated 2 million rand to have this war room, the management war room, just to monitor revenue collection. What exactly would you be monitoring? How it comes in on a daily, or explain to us how that's going to be working?
So in the current financial year, we've already started with this war room, and the additional funds allocated is to finalize it.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of Tshwane House, we have set up a project management office.
Mm-hmm.
Inside of that office, we have got all the different role players, senior managers, when it comes to the full revenue value chain,
mm-hmm.
from credit control, where we cut off services, through to debt collection, through to issuing of a Section 129 notices, summons, and ultimately the attachment of properties.
Mm-hmm.
Out of this office, we will also be ensuring that people who are our highest owing and our biggest buyers,
mm-hmm.
can come in here. They can speak directly with high-lying managers. We also have from there an outbound call center, where if somebody's account is due, they will get an outbound call for them to either indicate whether they want to make a payment arrangement or if they've got a billing query,
mm-hmm.
so that we can then settle their billing query there and then. We will be monitoring from this war room also what the activities are that is happening in the field, how many disconnection notices have been issued, how many disconnections have been done for water and electricity, how many of that we have received payments in and need to do reconnections, or which of them were unsuccessful and we need to go into Section 129 notices and ultimately then summons.
Mm.
So it is a full value chain of the debt collection process that will happen from there.
You've allocated 50.2 million rand on water leak repairs and water losses. It kind of gives me the sense that your water leak problems is quite massive.
Yes, we do have quite a massive water leak problem in the city. We have a number of areas that still have old pipes, and these old pipes, they break quite frequently. Once you have had a break on one of these old asbestos pipes, we also see that there is breaks that often follow on that. We have also, over the last couple of years, seen more and more times where we run out of water in the city due to Rand Water not being able to fully supply. And that also causes then quite a lot of damage to even newer pipes, which then causes water leaks. And we also have instances where contractors work on our road reserves and damage our pipes. but it is a very big commitment of the city to ensure that we can fix water leaks much quicker in order to curb the losses and then also obviously to preserve water better.
And you do have a separate budget allocation, and unless if I misunderstand this, a 60 million rand for water conservation. Just explain that to us.
Yeah, so water conservation is specific ways of how we can look at saving water so that we ultimately utilize less water from our bulk supplier rand water.
Yeah, so how will this look like? 60 million rand, I'm trying to understand how will you be spending it on water conservation?
This is specific ways in optimizing our system. It's pilot projects that we are running with C40 cities, mm-hmm. in order for us to look at where in our system is it that we are experiencing losses, and then in order to optimize those areas. So it's not necessarily losses that is directly linked to leaks, mm-hmm. but rather to the distribution network itself.
Okay. Are you looking to reconfigure the distribution network?
I'm not sure what you mean.
As in, you want to change the entire system?
Yes, that's ultimately something that we want to long-term look at, to have better of our own water supply, mm-hmm. to better utilize our own dams, the Riddipla Dam, the Rift Vlei Dam, mm-hmm. and then utilize less of the Rand Water projects. Yes.
Okay, I understand. The new electricity connections, 2 million rand allocated to that, where are these connections going to be? These totally new. In other words, for households which have never had or new developments, is just maybe give us an explanation there.
So we have got across the city various places that has been formalized in the past, but they don't necessarily have meters. Mm-hmm. We have other instances where we do have places that that have not been formalized, still needs to be formalized, and have meters put in specifically. So this is where we are creating new revenue streams for the city in order for us to have better billing of the electricity that we are providing to residents.
Are these like areas that were maybe formerly informal settlements and are now, you know, have been converted to being formal?
Yes, indeed.
Okay. All right. You speak a lot about reliable electricity supply, and I know that you've been speaking to various cities, just, I suppose, similar to what you're doing with the water conservation, looking at different ideas and models of how you're going to give the city of Tshwane more reliable electricity. The one concern that the mayor has also made is the issue of substation fires. You've got a plan for that.
Yeah, we have utilized this budget to allocate 20 million rand extra for battery surge protections at substations, mm-hmm. which will mean that the substation will ultimately trip before a burn happens.
Mm.
And we have also allocated quite a substantial amount of money to reroute networks in order to stabilize the cabling network surrounding substations, mm-hmm. which will also then ensure that there's less surges that goes through the substations. But the battery protection in itself is designed for the substations in order to protect themselves when a surge does come through. It's basically like your DB board tripping there's an appliance that isn't working the way it should be.
Is this a direct result as a direct result of load shedding? Is that what makes these fires?
There's a big impact that load shedding does have. Load mm-hmm. shedding is not the only impact,
yeah.
but load shedding does certainly have a big impact because the substations aren't made to switch on and switch off the way that they do. And there's also a very big spike that goes the moment after load shedding is finished and it goes on. There's a big spike that goes through the network, and the cabling network is not able to handle that. Mm-hmm. And we all know that electricity flows into two ways, which means that once the spike goes through the cable, it goes back into the substation as well.
Okay. So then we've got this 177 million rand. Is that to, I suppose, also revisit the network itself so that, you know, you have less of the issues that you're speaking of? And the 20 million in that, ring fenced in that, is about rerouting that electricity supply.
Yes. So we've got 177 million allocated for maintenance materials in our network, mm-hmm. which includes panels. It includes a strengthening of the overhead network as well as the cabling network itself. So it is to make sure that we can have the network as close as possible to what it should be to perfect. While we do know that in load shedding that will be an uphill battle, but we are committed to ensure that the networks get as close to design as what it is on the design than what we can get it.
I'm going to open the lines, if you don't mind, MMC, for residents of Tshwane, just mm-hmm. to engage a little bit with this budget and maybe ask questions that I have not yet asked you. 086-00-00959. That's the number to dial MMC of Finance in Tshwane. Very happy to take your questions and some of your concerns around this budget. We've looked at a few things, not everything yet. MMC, I just want to talk to you about your revenue collection. And I know you've got an entire, as you said, war room, a management war room to try and monitor this revenue collection that you've got going with Dima, Tshwaneya Dima program. When we're looking at the income in the households and we're seeing that South Africans are struggling, and I'm sure residents of Tshwane too, what are the residents saying to you when it comes to them just not being able to pay your rates? I know some are already coming to you to make arrangements, but what's your engagement with them, and what are they telling you?
In a lot of cases, we find that residents are able to settle their accounts, because once they are cut, they settle immediately. Mm-hmm. We even see residents that have been bridged that pay that same afternoon after they have been bridged. Mm-hmm. So in a lot of instances, it is just a culture of non-payment that has developed. However, we also do understand that there is a number of residents that really do have it tough in the current financial circumstances. Mm-hmm. And that is why we do offer the opportunity for residents to make arrangements. But we also have a affordability committee where somebody can apply to have their debt written off, mm-hmm. at least partially or possibly fully. It will depend on the person's individual circumstances. Mm-hmm. And we then have got a very good indigent program where we offer free services to those who cannot afford at all. We offer 100 units of electricity and 12 kiloliters of water per month for those who do qualify for the indigent program.
There was a bit of a backlog with your indigent program. How's that going?
We are trying our best to catch up on the backlog, and in this coming budget, we are also allocating additional funds to fill more positions for social workers in order for us to quicker and better keep up with the indigent applications.
So of the 40,000 letters of demand that you've already issued, you know, what kind of people are these? Are these more households? Are these businesses? Could you give us the profile of these people?
It cuts across all of these. And there's mostly accounts that do not have electricity or water connections directly with the city. Mm-hmm. So they only have rates and taxes accounts. Therefore, we're not able to cut them off. You know, it is in some cases you have people who live in sectional title complexes. Ah. So the water and electricity is on the complex name, and therefore we can't directly cut that.
Yes.
So it is often these places where we cannot do credit control, or it's somebody that's full solar, so credit control won't have an impact on them. And in those cases, we then have to go over to the Section 129s. Hmm.
And is that the majority of these kinds of people you're referring to?
Yes, a majority it is.
Yeah. So obviously that process is quite long, and it takes a long time to recover that money.
It does, but it is a process that the city needs to go through if we want to stop our debt books from growing, and also if we want to ensure that we can encash on the debt book that is there. It also, once a Section 129 has been issued, and once as we then start with summonses being issued, the fact that that debt can prescribe falls away. So debt can no longer then prescribe. So it is very important that we do actually follow these processes.
You spoke a little bit earlier around illegal connections, which you're saying, you know, you've got two steps to that. But are you getting support from law enforcement agencies with this kind of problem?
Yeah, we have great support from TPD. If we have to go into hostile areas, we also have support of SAPS. And we really do commend our law enforcement agents for what they are doing and for the way that they are protecting our teams.
I'm going to ask if we can take a quick break, if you don't mind. MMC for Finance in the City of Tshwane, Jackie Ace, who's on the line with us. She gave her budget speech today. If you're a resident of Tshwane, you're very welcome to engage her. 086-000-0959. The city is trying to recover from that strike, as you all know. But the budget is now out there. It has been tabled. Looking forward to your questions. And you can send them also on voice note on 063-688-0959. Thank you so much for staying with us. It's 20 minutes after 9 o'clock. Jackie Ace is the MMC for Finance in the City of Tshwane, and she presented a budget speech today. Looking forward to engagement on 086-000-0959. Any questions you have, especially if you are a resident of Tshwane. MMC, thanks again for staying with us. You had that horrible strike that took a lot of the, you know, the patience of the residents of Tshwane not so long ago. I know that you had started procuring some services to try and clean up the city. How are those plans going?
Yeah, we spent quite a lot of attention into cleaning up what has happened during the strike. And I do believe that we've made quite a lot of headway, specifically when it comes to things like illegal dumping. Mm. The mayor has also instituted what he calls his urban management program, where we have identified the 30 main routes in the city. And maintenance on those routes is being done continually. And I believe that residents will see, as they drive on these big routes, that the street lines have been painted, street lights are fixed, there is grass cutting that is happening on those areas, and there is then a continuous fight towards illegal dumping. So one of our commitments as a mayoral committee under the mayor, Silje Brink, is to make sure that urban management is properly done. And although we know that we do not have the funds to cover the entire city, we are strategically planning specific areas where it will have the biggest and the largest impact.
Just give us a sense of what do you mean by that?
So we're looking at the main routes at Samaya Road in Mamelodi. We're looking at roads like Linwood and Gasfontein in Pretoria East, Van der Hofweg in the north of the city, and then all of the main routes that goes into our township areas.
Does that mean you will be doing more regular urban management there and sort of randomly in other areas, or how does that work?
So it means that we have got permanent programs that are running in those areas, and other areas we will then do on a basis as it is reported by residents. Okay. But on those areas, we have continual programs that happen.
So I see you've got two separate budgets for that, the urban management budget and the illegal dumping budget, illegal dumping budget being 20 million rand. Is that to collect the actual rubbish or to monitor the area?
So we have got a budget of 111 million for the clearance of illegal dumping, with an additional 20 million specifically for yellow plant machinery. Because what we have found in the past is that the teams who need to clean the dumping do not necessarily have access to the exact machinery that they need. And that is why we have added additional funds to them for yellow plant machinery. There is then also additional funds allocated to TMPD to patrol these 30 main roads in order to ensure that they can do bylaw enforcement and stop illegal dumping from happening in those areas as well.
Hmm. Okay, so it's more to collect and to monitor and to check that nobody gets to dump there anymore.
Yes, your
dumping sites, can they cope with the demand? Your current dumping sites?
Yeah, our current dumping sites are not full, and there is still quite a lot of capacity in them.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that we have put into our funding plan, which means this is something that we want to prepare for in this financial year so that we can start implementing it in the next financial year, is to have transfer stations inside suburbs, which will be closer to people's homes so that they do not have to drive outside of the city to dumping sites. And we do believe that will assist the city in preventing quite a lot of illegal dumping. And the city can also have an additional revenue stream in that, where people can pay a fee when they do make use of these transfer sites.
What's a watchman service, MMC?
So the watchman services is where we have security guards that are protecting key assets of the city. It is something that we have had for many years inside of the city. However, we are also now looking at ways to utilize smart security services, where we have alarms and cameras that are linked to armed response that can come out to our key assets.
So this is now you allocating $305 million to private security companies?
Yes.
I'm confused by that, because is the city police not there to do just that?
The city has got an enormous amount of very widely spread out key assets that do need 24-hour protection. And the TMPD is specifically there for things like bylaw enforcement and traffic control, as well as in the specialized units that we have for cable theft, etc. And the TMPD needs to focus on those things, while we then have watchman services and ultimately smart security services that patrols our key assets.
Abel Dawa, as you know, is a former Tshwane MMC for Utilities. He's actually called in. He's on the line and he has a question for you. Thanks for calling, Abel. Thank you very much for making time for us, Mr. Dawa. Good evening.
Thank you so much, and thanks for having me, Pamela, and good evening to the MMC in studio.
Yes.
Look, Pamela, as a resident of the city of Tshwane, I am actually worried. Looking at the budget itself, from time to time, it is said to be pro-poor, but services continue to decline in the townships. And MMC would know that in January, they will be reprioritizing to obviously focus on areas that don't benefit our people. So I'm saying, what are the measures that are put in place? Because year in, year out, we cannot be talking about a budget that is well-crafted from time to time, even though it does not respond to service delivery needs in townships in particular. And what plans do we have in place to ensure that we don't just talk about a budget that is pro-poor and eventually services continue to decline, but we actually ensure that there are systems in place to ensure that that budget gets to be utilized for the benefit of the most marginalized, especially people who are like the ones we have in proposed Orchard 110, where they need to be a speedy drive to put services in there, as well as flood victims. You know, in 2019, we've had people who were flooded, and to this day, there is really no end in sight in terms of them being relocated to suitable habitable areas. And finally, the last question as well is to the watchman services. I'm glad that you raised that, because the city of Tshwane and the EFF in particular have been fighting the issue of the involvement of AfriForum the affairs of the city of Tshwane to do exactly that. I believe that this 305 million is directed to try and make sure that it is going to service companies such as the ones that are owned by those people who would be expected by them to reintroduce a way of giving them as kickbacks. How are they going to ensure that these companies that would be doing the kind of watchman services and security services in the city are actually companies that, as part of the drive of the city to ensure that we stimulate growth, are also going to be new entrants and companies that predominantly are black owned? Thank you.
MMC Jackie Ace?
I'm not very much sure what Albert Town means by come January, service will be taken away from townships into suburban areas. That is a comment that I don't understand at all. What I do, however, understand is that we have proven already in this financial year that we are delivering services across the city. And that you can be seen just by the roads that have been refurbished in various townships. We had roads refurbished in Mabopane and Shoshanguve, as well as then in Linwood and in suburban areas. The budget that has been drawn up is not specifically to focus at only certain areas of the city, but it is to focus on service delivery across the city. So in the budget that is in front of us, 60 million, that is 60 million, was allocated towards electricity in Shoshanguve. We have got 6.8 million that has been allocated specifically to sewage in Region 1 in Mawiga. We have got millions that are allocated to roads and stormwaters in Ekangala. So this allegation that the budget and the narrative that that opposition parties is trying to create, that this budget is only looking after suburban areas, is a 100% false budget. And anybody who has read or even just the budget speech, and not only the budget itself, would have noticed that that narrative is indeed not true. Then, if we get specifically to watchman services, Abotao's comment there was a bit convoluted, and I believe that he is trying to trick me into answering a question in an EFF narrative, which I am not interested to do at all. What I will say is that it is very important that we do protect the assets of the city. If we do not protect the assets of the city, we cannot deliver the services that we need to deliver. The assets that I'm talking about is reservoirs. If our reservoirs are not protected, people illegally connect into the reservoirs, which means those who pay for services do not actually get water into their taps.
So, MMC, if I may ask the question, and this is not related to what Abotao is saying, nor the EFF, the most obvious question for me is, why not pump that money into the metro? You said, obviously, they don't have capacity, and obviously, they're overstretched. But 300 million, would that not service them and give them at least part of the capacity that they need if the Metropolis were given this kind of money to support them?
Mm-hmm. So it's part of our funding plan, and as I explained earlier, the funding plan is something that we're putting in place now in order to achieve in the next financial year. And the funding plan does look at how we can decrease the funds that we are currently spending on watchman services. That includes building internal capital services. Because if we, for example, have a substation like our Nyala Infeed substation, and we have, whether it is a security guard or a TMPD person guarding this, if you have 40 thugs walking in there with AK-47s, all we are doing is put the life of that security guard or TMPD guard at risk. So therefore, we are rather looking at armed response at cameras, at early warning systems, so that we can have a better solution into providing security of our assets. And that is something that does form part of our funding plan for the next financial year.
Jackie Ace, thanks very much for your time. She's the MMC for Finance in the city of Tshwane. She gave her budget speech today. It's 33 minutes after now.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.